Salander stared for a long time at the locked door, and then she lay back and stared up at the ceiling. That was when she felt that there was something hard beneath her head. She lifted the pillow and saw, to her surprise, a small cloth bag that had definitely not been there before. She opened it and stared in amazement at a Palm Tungsten T3 handheld computer and battery charger. Then she looked more closely at the computer and saw the little scratch on the top left corner. Her heart skipped a beat.
"It's my palm. But how?"
In amazement, she glanced over at the locked door. Jonasson was a catalogue of surprises. In great excitement, she turned on the computer and discovered that it was password protected. She stared in frustration at the blinking screen. It seemed to be challenging her.
"How the hell did they think I would..."
Then she looked in the cloth bag and found at the bottom a scrap of folded paper. She unfolded it and read a line written in an elegant script.
"You're the hacker. Work it out. Calais B."
Salander laughed aloud for the first time in weeks.
"Touché."
She thought for a few seconds. Then she picked up the stylus and wrote the number combination 9277, which corresponded to the letters WASP on the keyboard. It was a code that Calle fucking Blomqvist had been forced to work out when he got into her apartment on Fiskegatan uninvited and tripped the burglar alarm. It did not work. She tried 52553, which corresponded to the letters KALLE. That did not work either. Since Blomqvist presumably intended that she should use the computer, he must have chosen a simple password. He had used the signature Calle, which normally he hated. She free associated. She thought for a moment. It must be some insult. Then she typed in 74774, which corresponded to the word PIPPI, Pippi fucking Longstocking. The computer started up. There was a smiley face on the screen with a cartoon speech balloon.
"See, that wasn't so hard. I suggest you click on the saved document."
She found the document, "Hi Sally," at the top of the list. She clicked on it and read.
"First of all, this is only between you and me. Your lawyer, my sister, Annika, has no idea that you have access to this computer. It has to stay that way. I don't know how much you understand of what is happening outside your locked room, but strangely enough, despite your personality, you have a number of loyal idiots working on your behalf. I've already established an elite body called the Knights of the Idiotic Table. We will be holding an annual dinner, at which we'll have fun talking crap about you. No, you're not invited. So, to the point. Annika is doing her best to prepare for your trial. One problem, of course, is that she's working for you and is bound and fettered by one of those damned confidentiality oaths, so she can't tell me what the two of you discuss, which in this case is a bit of a handicap. Luckily, she does accept information. We have to talk, you and I. Don't use my email. I may be paranoid, but I have reason to suspect that I'm not the only one reading it. If you want to deliver something, go to Yahoo group idiotic_table, ID Pippi, and password P9I2P7P7I. Mikhail." Salander read his letter twice, staring in bewilderment at the palm. After a period of computer celibacy, she was suffering from massive cyber-abstinence, and she wondered which big toe Blomqvist had been thinking with when he smuggled her a computer but forgot that she needed a mobile to connect to the net. She was still thinking when she heard footsteps in the corridor. She turned the computer off at once and shoved it under her pillow. As she heard the key in the door, she realized that the cloth bag and charger were still in view on the bedside table. She reached out and slid the bag under the covers and pressed the coil of cord into her crotch. She lay passively looking up at the ceiling when the night nurse came in, said a polite hello and asked how she was doing and whether she needed anything. Salander told her that she was doing fine and that she wanted a pack of cigarettes. This request was turned down in a firm but friendly tone. She was given a pack of nicotine gum. As the nurse was closing the door, Salander glimpsed the guard on his chair out in the corridor. She waited until she heard the nurse's steps receding before she once again picked up her palm. She turned it on and searched for connectivity. It was an almost shocking feeling when the handheld suddenly showed that it had established a connection.
Contact with the net. Unbelievable.
She jumped out of bed so fast that she felt a pain in her injured hip.
How?
She walked all the way around the room, examining every nook and cranny. No, there was no mobile. And yet she had connectivity. Then a crooked grin spread across her face. The connection was radio-controlled and locked into a mobile via Bluetooth, which had a range of 10 to 12 yards. Her eyes lit upon an air vent just below the ceiling. Kalle fucking Blomqvist had somehow planted a mobile just outside her room. That could be the only explanation.
But why not smuggle in the mobile too? Ah, of course, the batteries.
Her palm had to be recharged only once every 3 days. A mobile that was connected, if she surfed it hard, would burn out its batteries in much less time. Blomqvist, or more likely somebody he had hired and who was out there, would have to change the batteries at regular intervals. But he had sent in the charger for her palm.
He isn't so stupid after all.
Salander began by deciding where to keep the handheld. She had to find a hiding place. There were outlets by the door and in the panel behind the bed which provided electricity for her bedside lamp and digital clock. There was a recess where a radio had been removed. She smiled. Both the battery charger and the palm could fit in there. She could use the outlet inside the bedside table to charge the palm during the day.